Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
What's great is as we start again this new term, we're going to be starting a new series. And tonight it's a privilege, it's a pleasure to open the series. And I'm going to do two things this evening. In a moment or in a little bit, I'm going to come on to the passage we've heard. But before we do that, I'm going to do a bit of an overview of the series, explain a little bit about why we've chosen this particular series. And I'm going to give you five quick fire lessons and insights into the character of Peter, who will be our focus over the next 6 weeks. The title of our series is Peter and the Unchanging Jesus. So we're thinking about Peter, and we will contrast the character of Peter that we see in the Bible with that of Jesus. And as we journey through the Bible, we'll see how Peter, and in a number of different events, grew and matured, how he got things right and spot on, but how he also got things so wrong. And he's a character that many of us can relate to. And my hope is, my prayer is over these next 6 weeks, that as a church, as a community, as we see how Peter learned from Jesus, we too might learn from Jesus the same kind of lessons that Peter had to learn as he journeyed with Jesus, as he grew in his faith, as he grew in his understanding of what it meant to follow Jesus. Like I said, sometimes Peter got things spot on. Peter, the rock on which Christ builds his church. Other times Peter got things very wrong. Peter's denial, 3 times he denied Christ. But hopefully we'll immerse ourselves in this character. We'll learn more about Peter, and in doing so, we'll learn more about Jesus and what it means to chase after Jesus, what it means to follow Jesus. You know, often we say, I follow Jesus, I want to follow Jesus. I think Peter is somebody who didn't follow Jesus, he chased after Jesus, and I love that. I want to be someone that chases after Jesus, and I hope you do too. And we'll see, particularly in tonight's passage, we'll see on a number of occasions, Peter just chases after Jesus so much, and the results are sometimes fantastic, and sometimes Peter gets it wrong. But he grows, he learns, he matures, and I hope that happens to us over these next 6 weeks or so. Okay, so as a means of introducing the series, an insight into Peter, I'm going to give you 5 quick fire lessons from Peter in the Bible. If you are a note taker, this could be a great way to set the scene for the series that is coming. 5 quick fire lessons, 5 verses, and then I'm going to share a little bit about each verse, just as a means of introducing him, and then we'll crack into tonight's passage. Okay, number 1. It is by humility that we invite Jesus into our life. In Luke chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, 'Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man.'" There's something about being in the presence of God that makes us vastly aware of our own downfall. And Peter, in this moment, has witnessed an amazing miracle, the miraculous catch of fish. And in the presence of pure holiness, in the presence of this miracle that has blown his mind, he recognizes who Jesus is, and as a result, he recognizes his place before him. He falls to his knees. "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." Which makes Peter the perfect candidate to be one of Jesus' disciples. One of his opening lines, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." He recognizes his position. Number two, a prideful heart stunts growth. Matthew 16:23, Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, you're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Comes in the same chapter that the Lord tells Peter that he's blessed in his response or in his confession that Jesus is the Messiah. But then Peter goes on and makes a mistake, and Jesus rebukes Peter. Jesus tells Peter he's a stumbling block. Sometimes our pride, sometimes when we get things wrong, we forget that it's only by the power and grace of God that we're elevated. It's only by the power and grace of God that he uses us. A prideful heart stunts growth. And I hope you can see already that there's a clear contrast developing in some of these points. Peter is sometimes, you know, lifted up, he's great. Sometimes he's starting to get things wrong. Number three, zeal without discipline is reckless. John 18:10. "Then Simon Peter drew a sword and slashed off the right ear of Malchus, the high priest's slave." It's at Jesus' arrest. So while Peter was clearly fired up with passion, he wants to chase after following Jesus, as we've said, it's fueled by violence and a desire for wrath. Jesus, on the other account, tells him to put away his sword, because all who live by the sword will die by it. Jesus says the sword that believers are called to draw is the sword of the Spirit, and wielding this sword will prevent harmful and impulsive behavior. Number four, God uses people who make mistakes. "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me." It's Luke 22:34, Peter's denial. So even though we make poor decisions, if we have a repentant heart, which Peter did, we can still be used by God. God uses people who make mistakes. And number five, holy boldness can move multitudes. Acts 4:13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus." Holy boldness can move multitudes. You know, throughout his time with Jesus, Peter was always trying to prove himself. He's always trying to prove his loyalty. The irony of that is that perhaps throughout that whole time, Jesus knew that he was loyal, and he knew that a time would come when Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, would stand before many and proclaim Jesus' name out to the masses. Peter just had to wait for the Holy Spirit to empower him to do that work. His loyalty was there, and Jesus knew that. Holy boldness can move multitudes. Okay, so there you have it. Five quick insights into the life of Peter. Five lessons that you can learn from Peter. And as we progress through these next 6 weeks, I think we'll see a number of those things come to life in the passages that we study, in the way by the speakers that share what the Lord has put on their hearts. I think we'll have an insight into a number of those lessons. Peter was an ordinary man whose hunger and desire for Jesus is so evident throughout Scripture. Okay, we come on to our passage for tonight. So allow me to set the scene once more. So Peter and the other disciples of Jesus have been following Jesus for some time now. They've heard him teach the Sermon on the Mount. They've seen him perform amazing signs and wonders. And most recently, what's happened just before the event, before the passage we heard tonight, Jesus has fed over 5,000 people. And it's a miracle that the disciples, including Peter, were a part of. And what I mean by that is Jesus performed the miracle, but it was the disciples who distributed the bread and the fish. They will have felt as much a part of that miracle as Jesus did. They will be coming off the back of that on a tremendous high. And immediately after this miracle, Jesus has insisted that the disciples travel by boat across to the other side of the lake. And as they set off on their way, they do as he's commanded them. Jesus sends the crowds home, and he himself withdraws to the mountainside to pray. It's not an uncommon thing for Jesus to have done, to seek solidarity, to pray. And we're told at 3 o'clock in the morning, at 3 a.m., Jesus, he sees the disciples are in a spot of bother. He sees that they're being battered by a strong wind and heavy waves. And so he begins to walk out across the water towards them. And that's when we see these tremendous events start to unfold. The disciples are terrified. They see Jesus, and one of them shouts out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus dismisses this. He says, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here." Then Peter, who we've already said is desperate to follow Jesus and to prove himself, perhaps even to prove himself to himself. Maybe he doesn't even believe himself. And he's desperate to show it. He shouts out, "Lord, if it's really you, then tell me to come to you walking on the water." Now, this might seem like a bit of a strange request. Why would a man say, I see another person standing on water and say, "If it's really you, then tell me to come and I'll jump out of this boat myself and I'll come over to you." It's odd, isn't it? But remember, Peter has witnessed Jesus calm a storm before, Matthew 8. He knows that Jesus is Lord over the elements. Only Jesus would be able to respond and say to him, "Come to me and walk on this water." It's only Jesus that had the power to enable Peter to walk on the water. Jesus says, "Yes, come." So Peter, just imagine for a moment, Peter gets out of the boat that is being battered by winds and waves, and he starts to walk to Jesus. Imagine what that would have been like for Peter. Now imagine what that would have been like for the other disciples as they watch their mate Pete, as they watch their friend, one of their other disciples. Imagine as they watch him clamber over the side of a boat, and as he puts his foot down onto the water, he stands onto the top of it as if it's a solid surface. I think I would have been more, I don't know, bamboozled if I was a disciple, let alone if I was Peter. I'm watching my friend Peter clamber out of this boat, which we think is going to sink, and he stands on the water, and then he starts walking towards Jesus. Now, much has been said about Peter getting out of the boat and standing onto the water. Much has been said about Jesus coming out in the storm and meeting them in the midst of this raging storms. And we can draw parallels to our own lives, can't we? We can think about when it feels like a storm is raging around us. We can think about times when things have gone wrong or we feel overwhelmed. Many of you here will have testimonies of times when you felt overwhelmed by a storm and you've looked up and you've seen Jesus, your comforter. You've seen Jesus, the pioneer, standing before you in the midst of the storm of your life. And you'll have testimonies of that. Whilst preparing this talk, I was reminded of Job, and in particular Job 38, and it says, "The Lord spoke to Job out of the storm." So clearly the Lord is used to speaking to people in the midst of chaos. It's not uncommon in the Bible, perhaps also for us either, it's not uncommon that when there is a storm raging, when chaos is around us, that the Lord speaks to us. Or it's in those moments, perhaps, that we can experience the Lord or hear the voice of the Lord most clearly. Perhaps then, there's something to be said about the fact that the Lord will be at work when we're out of our comfort zone. Perhaps then there's something to be said about the Lord's voice being heard when we step out of our comfort zone. Whether that's by choice or whether that's just by coincidence or by the consequences of what's happening around us. Certainly for Peter, to get out of that boat would have meant to literally step out of the comfort zone. None of the other disciples thought it was a good idea to get out of that boat. And yet Peter would literally step outside of his comfort zone. Now, I know it's figurative or it's literal, or we're thinking about it a little bit. And I wonder whether you can think of a time where you've had to step outside of your comfort zone. And I want us to think about that for a moment. I've been rather conveniently reading a book recently called Out of the Comfort Zone. You may have read it yourself. It's a great book. It's quite challenging at times. And I want to talk about this idea of the comfort zone. And what is the comfort zone for each one of us? Now, in this book, it says that the comfort zone that we all experience is like, it's like being with family. It's like being with loved ones. You're at ease. You're not threatened. You're in the company of familiar things. You've been there before. It's peaceful. And what's your comfort zone? But this comfort zone we speak of, the peace you experience there, it's not the supernatural peace that transcends all our understanding that's promised to us in Philippians 4:7. But it is a peace. It's perhaps what you'd call a natural peace. It's a peace that is just natural from being in a safe environment. You're simply comfortable in this arena, in this state. And actually, it can feel like a really attractive place to head towards or to be in. But as a follower of Jesus, what I'm convinced of is that on a regular basis, Christ will call us, will call you, to step out of your comfort zone. And to put it bluntly, what does it mean to step out of your comfort zone? It's not always going to be fun. You're going to feel uneasy. You'll yearn for the familiar. You'll want what will make you feel good, and that'll be a natural thing. You'll want that. You'll want to go back to what is familiar, and yet the Lord has purposely called you out of your comfort zone so that he can work through you with his power in your weaknesses. Think about the disciples for a moment. Someone once taught me through this illustration. Think about the disciples for a moment. What did they do when Jesus had been crucified and he'd gone? They went back to their jobs. They went back to their comfort zone. They went back to what was familiar. They went back to what they knew. And yet Jesus had called them, and he calls us, to step out of that comfort zone, to push forwards into the different things, the different ministry areas, the different things that he's calling us to. He's calling each one of us to step out of that comfort zone. It's natural for someone to want to return to what they know is safe. But following Jesus wholeheartedly isn't necessarily always going to be safe. C.S. Lewis's line, The Witch in the Wardrobe, sums this up fantastically, and you'll know these lines, I expect. It says, a quote from that book, "Ooh," said Susan, "is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion." "That you will, dearie, and no mistake," said Mrs. Beaver. "If there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they're either braver than most or else just silly." "Then he isn't safe," said Lucy. "Safe," said Mr. Beaver. "Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. God isn't safe, but he is good." And we must never forget that when we step out of our comfort zone and into God's will. It's not necessarily safe, but God is good throughout that period. What might that look like for each one of us? Well, it'll look different. Perhaps the Lord is calling you into a new role where you can serve here at St. Patrick's. Perhaps that is you stepping out of your comfort zone. Perhaps for you to step out of your comfort zone means to support somebody pastorally. Perhaps that terrifies you, but maybe that's what the Holy Spirit is nudging you to do. Or maybe to step out of your comfort zone is to start sharing your faith with those around you. That is so terrifying. That really is stepping out of our comfort zones. But it's what the Lord calls each one of us to do. So consider, where is it that the Holy Spirit is leading you? Because chances are, it's out of your comfort zone. And the remarkable thing about the comfort zone is it's forever moving. You'll move out of your comfort zone, and within a month, 2 months, a year, 2 years, that place that was once a scary place to be has become your comfort zone. So perhaps you're sitting there and you can think of a time where you stepped out of your comfort zone. Maybe the question is, are you now in the new comfort zone? Is the Lord calling you to step out again? Let's go back to the passage for a moment. In the passage, Peter is rebuked by Jesus for taking his eyes off him. "Why did you doubt?" Jesus said. Isn't it often the case that when the storm's raging around us, or when stuff is happening, it can be really tricky to keep our focus on Jesus? I don't know if you can relate to this, but for me, it's often the case when things go wrong, I will have one eye on Jesus, but I'll also start to plan and plot and think how I can fix this myself. My attention might be drawn elsewhere. How can I stop this storm? How can I do that? How can I solve this problem? Where can I find comfort? Who am I going to ring? Is the first thing I'm going to do is read my Bible and think about Jesus? Or am I going to call my mum and ask her for some advice? It's not a bad thing, but I think my first protocol should be Jesus. My first protocol should be to fix my eyes on Jesus rather than taking my eyes off him and beginning to sink like Peter did. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Fix your eyes on Jesus. You know, it was one part of the memory verse for our team in Romania. And if you've had a chance to chat to any of the Romanian team, I hope you have. Please do, and ask them about what their experience was like, what they learned, what they experienced in regards to how the Lord was at work in their lives. And one thing that I think is true, and I think that most of the team would agree with me on, is that as we persevered through that week, as we went through the challenges and the highs and the lows of that week, what sustained us all was fixing our eyes on Jesus. It was part of our memory verse. We couldn't escape it. Whenever anything was going wrong, we would say to our young people, fix your eyes on Jesus, and he will sustain you through it. And this beautiful imagery and illustration of this passage of Peter walking on water but starting to sink because he takes his eyes away from Jesus, it fits brilliantly with the writer of Hebrews saying, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. So if you're in a storm right now, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. The passage starts to come to a conclusion, and it says immediately Jesus, he reaches out and he takes hold of Peter and he lifts him up. Let that be an encouragement to you, to your soul, to your entire person. When you start to waver, when things start to go wrong, when you begin to sink, Jesus is there, he's reaching out. Well, I just get this sense that as Jesus reaches out, we have to let him, we have to let him lift us back up. So the passage tonight, as a drawing to a close, it puts into sharp focus for us the character of both Christ, but also the disciples. We see the power and mercy of the Lord Jesus, and we see the mixture of faith and unbelief within the disciples. It's beautifully illustrated. I don't know where I'd be in that boat. Honestly, I don't know if I'd be Peter getting out. Sometimes I like to think I would be. I might be at the back of the boat thinking, you all go first, come on, see if you stand up. Or it might be someone like pushing my friend in, I don't know. But it just illustrates it brilliantly, doesn't it? And that's what this series is about. It's about the consistency of Jesus standing firm on that water. And then us lot in the boat, not sure whether to get out or not. And my hope is throughout this series, as we progress, we'll begin to see how Peter and the disciples had this mixture of faith and unbelief, and the challenges they face and that we face, how we overcome them, increase our faith in Jesus, step out of our comfort zone, all as we fix our eyes on Jesus. So let me pray to finish. Heavenly Father, I do pray that throughout this series you'll be teaching us, you'll be shaping us, you'll be moulding us. I pray that you'd help us fix our eyes on you as we step out of our comfort zones. Lord, I pray that by your Holy Spirit now, you would teach and lead each one of us how to do that. On a really practical level, I pray you'd reveal to us what it means for each one of us to step out of our comfort zones. In Jesus' name, amen.
The sermon you have just heard was delivered at our evening service. As part of those services, we have a period of reflection on the sermon. This week, we recorded part of that time to give you a flavour of what it's like. I hope this also helps you as you ponder the sermon for yourself.
Here's three things that maybe in just in a few minutes' silence you might want to think about. Is first thing really is, if you have been one of those people who have struggled recently or in a particular time, and you know that God has helped you out of that, Jesus took your hand, then thank him for that in that time, and maybe think about willing to share that briefly after with us. That'd be the first one. Second one is to think, am I a person that actually battens down the comfort zone hatches? And you might just want to ask the Lord to release the latches on the hatches. It's a poet and didn't know it. Because I think sometimes, the third one that I'm going to suggest is sometimes we need to take a smaller step before we can get to the bigger one. So maybe it's just a prayer to loosen the latches, because you know you've locked yourself into a comfort zone. But if you're feeling bolder, then say to the Lord, I'm ready to come out of my comfort zone. What is it? What is it you want me to do? Where do you want me to serve? Where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to get alongside, etc.?